Ladies and gentlemen, at last, corporate fraud moves from the boardroom to Broadway. Jeff London reports on the new play called Enron.
Even if playwright Lucy Prebble is only 29 years old, she adheres to an ancient stage adage, "Thou shalt not be boring."
I suppose it comes fundamentally from this notion, a slightly childish notion on my part, which is, I don't want to write a play about finance that's boring, you know? Because that's what people expect. And also, I read that Enron themselves, they hired Cirque du Soleil to perform at their company parties. I mean, they were not without the flamboyant themselves. So I thought, can we bring that flamboyance to the stage?
Prebble has created a highly theatrical work using songs, dance, and videos alongside convicted felons Jeffrey Skilling, Kenneth Lay, and Andrew Fastow. Director Rupert Gould says Prebble uses just about every device in a playwright's toolkit to bring the culture of Enron to the stage.
It's a play about an accountancy fraud. It needs theatricality, it needs metaphor, it needs big images. And she had stacks of them, and a lot of them came out of Enron itself, which was such a sort of strange and warped organisation linguistically as well as economically. And so, you know, the raptors that feature in the show, you know, even the references to Star Wars that we then extrapolate out in the show were very much in Enron anyway.
That's right. Raptors, as in Jurassic Park's vicious dinosaurs, who live in Chief Financial Officer Andy Fastow's office, voraciously eating up Enron's debt, a whimsical embodiment of the dummy corporations Fastow set up to mask the company's unprofitability.
Oh, God! It's the raptors! You like them? They like you? That's where the debt goes? With these sort of entities? No, we could never have them publicly at Enron. But LJM doesn't need to show its books, so we can experiment here.
Prebble says one of her chief challenges as a dramatist was to find ways to take complex and often deliberately opaque financial concepts and make them clear for an audience.
There was a real artistic motivation for me to go, well, actually, is it possible to explain these terms or to dramatize these financial instruments in a way that will make people go, oh, really? It's just like that?
They're consuming our debt. Yes, debt is just money. All money is debt.
In what sense?
Right, if the bank gives you money, you owe them. If you put money in the bank, they owe you. All money is debt. It's just how you present it.
The play is filled with bold theatrical choices, like a lightsaber dance a la Star Wars, when California's electricity is deregulated and Enron's traders jack up prices with disastrous results for the state, but lots of money for Enron.
They named their trading strategies things like Death Star. I mean, the most tasteless, immature thing you can imagine. But when you've got that material there, then of course you go, well, wouldn't it be great then to portray it with a dance?
This is the single largest transfer of wealth I've ever seen.
We're like the Roman Empire. We're going f***ing down.
Let's wipe this mother
You know the difference between the state of California and the Titanic? At least when the Titanic went down, the lights were on.
What I find really interesting about economics is that it is essentially about people. It's essentially about people behaving, whether they're selling something out of fear or buying something out of greed. Those are essentially emotions.
And perhaps the greatest embodiment of greed and fear in Enron is the character of Chief Executive Officer Jeffrey Skilling. Prebble feels he's kind of a contemporary Richard III.
The tragic journey of an anti-hero, which I think is what I try and make Skilling, from this kind of frustrated nerd, which is kind of what he was, who reinvents himself to become this invigorated, powerful CEO. He physically reinvented himself as well. I mean, he lost all this weight and kind of got Lasix on his eyes and all of this sort of stuff. And then who ends up going to prison for 24 years and kind of drinking too much and screaming at people in the street, which is kind of what happened to him. I just thought, that as an arc.
We got the best business plan with the smartest graduates. Trouble is, right now, we're not making any money.
How bad?
You with me?
Always.
I can't find any area right now except trading. And there, day to day, we might lose as much as we make.
Wow, yeah. You're not kidding?
I am not kidding.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't mind taking losses. I can't report taking losses.
Preble says she didn't want to go for easy solutions in portraying this story of corporate chicanery.
Yes, there's absolutely no argument that what Skilling and Fastow and Lay, I think, did was terrible and wrong. However, is there also something in us which means that we are bound into this boom and bust situation, that we constantly create these bubbles out of excitement and fervour and then destroy ourselves? And it happens again and again and again. So there's this final speech in the play where Skilling himself talks about that to the audience, and in a very challenging way, and says, well, it's not just me, you know, it's also you. And you can feel the audience going, oh, I don't quite know how to respond to that.
Everything I've ever done in my whole life worth anything was done in a bubble, in a state of extreme hope and trust and stupidity.
The play was a hit in London, and director Rupert Gould hopes its success will be duplicated in New York. But he does notice a difference in perception.
When we did it in England, it was a play that had sort of slightly Broadway-ish values, you know, musical numbers and dancing and kind of razzmatazz. But now we're on Broadway. Strangely, it feels like a show that has a kind of cerebral, kind of challenging heart.
Enron is currently playing at the Broadhurst Theatre on Broadway. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
Scenes from the player at NPR.org. Morning Edition is produced by Tracy Wall and Cara Tello. Our senior producers include Cindy Carpian, Barry Gordimer, Neva Grant, Tom Bullock, and Jim Wildman. Our executive producer is Madalika Sika. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. You can find Morning Edition on Twitter at Morning Edition, and you can reach me at NPR Inskeep. We have news throughout the day, recommended readings. Right now, in fact, we've got links to images and maps of the Gulf oil spill. You can find them there. You can also find me on Facebook, and Morning Edition has a new Facebook page. Check it out. I'm Steve Inskeep.